Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. It's us, your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
I'm Erin, and I have a cool water bottle.
Maybe it
says, "Be like Betty."
Aww, Betty White. How cool! That is a cool water bottle.
I know. Got it from Tervis.
Rip, so. Betty. I miss Betty.
I know. I do too.
Just knowing that she's not walking on the planet, right? It's just,
right,
yeah. You feel it. You feel the emptiness.
Yep. But,
well, so, good.
We should all be more like Betty.
Absolutely. Yes. For real. Or your favorite golden girl.
That's right.
If you want.
Yours would be Dorothy.
Yes, I am more Dorothy than anyone. Yeah. I will pop a kid's balloon. Absolutely. It's fine.
Yep. You will. You would.
I get aggravated over everything. This is not information that I hide from the public.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we want to welcome everybody into the episode today. Thank you so much for tuning in. To our new listeners, welcome. We're so happy to have you here. To our returning listeners, thank you so much. You all are the best, and we appreciate you coming on this ride with us. If you haven't already, you can give us a like on Instagram. Our Instagram is Southern Onion Podcast. You can give us a follow. DMs are open there. So if you have a show suggestion or just want to say hi, we love hearing from you all. Please feel free to do so. DMs are open. And I think that's pretty good. We streamed on it a little bit, just so we're not checking four or five things at a time. So so we very much appreciate. If you haven't also, give us a like, a follow, a subscribe, so you know when we come out with new episodes, which are usually every Monday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern time is when we set those to go out. And if you really like us, which we hope you do, leave us a review. That just helps us get our name out there to more people and helps us continue to grow because we're having fun with this. We hope you are too. So thank you. All right. So Erin, how's your week been?
It's been good. We had snow where I'm at and ice.
Ooh.
And like, I know, because I couldn't go to Dunkin' Donuts. So, you know, I was like all tore up.
Tragedy.
And it was only for one day that the roads were bad, but to me it was like a week.
So. Well, one day without Dunkin' is like a week without.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So best believe as soon as the roads were clear, I was at Dunkin' Donuts. So
when you don't get your coffee for a day, do you go with like a larger size the next day you go to compensate? Or
No, I kind of like... I just compromise and I make a Keurig.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hot coffee. Now, I will drink iced coffee. It could be -2 and I will be out there with an iced coffee.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because I'm savage like that.
Yes, you are savage drinking your iced coffee.
I will. You'll be like, it'll be 2 feet of snow and I'm like, this is delicious.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Okay.
I know. I have a problem. At least I admit it. So.
Yeah, well, that's the first step, they say. So.
Yeah.
Very good.
So how was your week?
Week was pretty good. With all this crazy weather, I got a sinus infection like the first one, and I can't tell you how long. So I appreciate the access I have to healthcare because I was able to get right into my doctor and get on antibiotics and feel a lot better. So it was short-lived sinus infection. So yay. And then, just... work. My travel's gone up a bit more last week and then this week coming up, but after that hopefully it'll level out again a bit. So as much as I love traveling, I also like to go home at a decent hour and go to the gym, but it's fine. I'm lucky to be in the position I'm in, so we'll take it. Oh, and I got to see and more Lady Vols basketball. So so I was happy. So it's been good. I won't complain. Great. Nobody will listen, right?
That's right.
Exactly. So thank you all again so much for being here. We really, really appreciate it. And again, if you have any show ideas for us, please feel free to leave us a comment on Instagram, or you can even comment on the stories that we put out. with what you all would like to hear, because we want to know what you want to hear too. We want to cover those things as well, not just what we find or think is interesting. So
yeah,
we very, very much appreciate it. So in continuing with our focus on Black History Month, the case that we are going to be covering today, it is it's a newer case. So there's still a lot going on with it. So we will give the update as we have it for now. This is the case of Lauren Smith Field. There's a lot with this. It's not only the death of someone, but it's also the mishandling by a police department. It's by negligence by a police department. It's also the power of social media to bring awareness to cases that would otherwise, I feel, be swept under the rug. Right. I'll get more into that with what exactly I mean by that. So, again, we are not professional researchers. Nope. We are not associated with any public, major, minor news outlets. These are just cases we find interesting and that we give our opinions on what we find. So, again, not professionals.
Right.
Just want to make that clear. So,
yes.
All right. So, let's get into it. I'm actually going to be taking the lead on this case today. Give Erin a little break. Because I'm nice like that, right?
That's right.
I'm going to elevate myself.
All right.
So,
here we go.
All right. So, we have Lauren Smithfield. Lauren was a 23-year-old college student from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Oh, and I do have to say, as a Lady Vol, University of Tennessee, Knoxville, Lady Volunteer basketball fan, I don't care for the women's basketball team at the University of Connecticut. So I just need to say that. I have to. As a Lady Vol fan, I have to say that. So got that out of the way now. So petty, I know. So Lauren Smithfield, she is a 23-year-old college student from Bridgeport, Connecticut. She was a track star in high school, and at the time of her death, she was studying cosmetology at Norwalk Community College. She had a side business as well. So I mean, this is a very, very young adult, and I apologize, last name is Fields, not Field. She is a young adult who's got a lot going on. So she's
a go-getter.
Yeah, she's a go-getter. She's self-driven. She's doing things to improve her life, you know, things you want to see out of young adults. She is also remembered as being bubbly, kind-hearted, and funny. So kind of a little bit of a background. Lauren had been on a dating app called Bumble. Mm. Now, I'm not very familiar with dating apps, so I had to go out and research. I didn't sign up or anything. But it's just another one, kind of like eHarmony, Match, all those that are Cupid, Christian Single, whatever. Right. They're just just a dating app that you sign up and people can see your profile, you can see theirs, and then you all decide if you meet through this app. So, Lauren did on December 11th, she went on a date with a male who was described as a 37-year-old white male.
Okay.
And I'll get more into that, why they just describe him as that. On December 12th, and this is just 3 months ago, so this is 2021. So, on December 12th, police were called to Lauren's apartment as she was found to be unresponsive. And later that morning, she was pronounced dead. So, at the time of the death, it has been ruled as an accidental overdose of acute intoxication of fentanyl, promethazine, hydroxyzine, and alcohol. So, I'm like, okay, what are these medications exactly? Because I don't know. If it's not ibuprofen or Tylenol, I don't know. So, fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that is 80 to 100 times stronger than morphine. So that's, and these are, this is what a lot of people are overdosing on. Especially
this is when they're getting laced with, this is what's getting laced with things, right?
Exactly. So when
is
you,
that right?
Right.
Okay.
So when you think fentanyl, your immediate first thought is drug use,
morphine.
Illegal drug use.
Well, I thought morphine. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Morphine, you know, and I remember I had had a surgery, when I was in high school, and I remember I had a morphine pump the night I had to spend over, and I hated it. You feel so out of your mind. I was talking and my head was going, shut up, Erica, and I couldn't stop talking. So you know, so I mean, this is a powerful, and to be 80 and 100 times stronger than that, good grief. Promethazine, it is used to prevent nausea and vomiting, but it can also help with anxiety and sleep. Hydroxyzine is an antihistamine, but it also has sedative properties. And then you have alcohol, which is also a sedative, a depressant. So that's why they're saying, oh, this is, she died from this acute overdose. So accidental overdose is what they're saying. Because all of these four things are sedatives, depressants. They're meant to slow down your body, your nervous system.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, and that's why you see all the labels on medications. Don't take this medication and consume alcohol, because your body can't filter it all out at once. So Lauren's family has said Lauren was not a drug user, and feels that saying that this is the cause of death so quickly, that she'll be just labeled as just another accidental overdose.
Right.
And I completely agree, because when you hear that, I mean, and I'm guilty of it. When you hear, oh, she died of, so-and-so died, whoever, died of an acute overdose, or from a mixture of medications and alcohol, you're like, oh, they must have been taking drugs, had alcohol, and overdosed. You know, you, not to dismiss anyone's life, obviously, but that's what you, that's what I thought, that's what I think. When I hear them. So I get why her family's saying that, especially because they know she wasn't a drug user. She had a lot going on. I don't know how she would have, if anything, you would have think they would have found, if anything, you think they would have found medications to be what's called uppers, like to give her more energy, to stay awake longer, to do things, not sedatives. So.
Well, you said she ran track.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like.
Right.
If you're a track star, you're not going to take a sedative.
Exactly.
I mean, or be, so sedated, you know.
Right.
So.
Exactly. And I know we're spending a bit of time on this, the drugs, but it's to show why, where the family's coming from. And I completely agree.
Sure.
So, so what we do know with this case is there was a lot, and I mean a lot, of mishandling by police. They were not doing their due diligence. And they were shutting out family. They were actually shutting out her family out of information on Lauren's death and the cause of it. So, back to the events before Lauren passed away. So, Lauren had a bumble date with an older white male who ended up spending the night at her home. Okay, fine. That
happens.
They're adults. He called police the morning of December 12th. When he saw that Lauren was bleeding from her nose and unresponsive. He was at the scene when police arrived, and they are not releasing his name because at the time, at this time, he is not facing any charges. So 911 said he was doing chest compressions when he was on the phone. They were coaching him through how to do chest compressions, and he seemed to be frantic on the phone. So first of all, being in the medical field, I'm a proponent. Get your basic CPR certification, because you never know when you're going to have to use it.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying go use it on strangers, but you might have a family member that needs it, and you would be ready. And to be frantic on the phone, I don't see that as a cause for dismissing anybody. It's a high-stress situation, and some people can't handle high-stress situations. So I don't, so I don't know. Well, they were like, oh, he's frantic, so he must not have been doing anything wrong. So the man, yeah, so the man did tell police that him and Lauren had been doing tequila shots that night. She became ill. She went to the bathroom, threw up, but came back, and they did more shots and more drinks. They played games and were watching a movie when Lauren fell asleep on the couch. I don't know that I could throw up and then come back and drink again. It's kind of like... What, you've got something to say?
Well, go ahead. I was just going to say, like, okay, this sounds like someone getting slip drugs in their drink. Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sorry. That's what it sounds like to me, but what
exactly.
I know, but
because why? If you weren't already feeling good, why would you have a date come over? Right. If you weren't already feeling good, why would you consume alcohol? Because you know that's just going to make things worse.
Right.
You know.
And then, you know. They always say, ladies, watch your drinks. And, you know, you don't know this guy. You meet him off Bumble. You don't know him from anybody.
Exactly.
You're out drinking. You're like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm sick. And then he's like, somebody's spiking drinks, maybe. I mean, I'm just speculating, but.
Yeah. No. Fair assumptions. You know. You have to take when, especially a young, healthy woman dies.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly. You've got to be thinking, what has happened? This is not normal. Mm-hmm. That a 23-year-old with doing a lot of things, healthy otherwise, just wakes up, you know, is unresponsive.
After
a date. So, okay. So, she falls asleep on the couch. So, being the gentleman that he is, he carried her to bed and fell asleep beside her because I'm sure he was very concerned about her well-being. He said that he woke up a few times during the night with Lauren snoring, but at 6:30 the next morning, he noticed that she was not snoring, and when he checked, she was not breathing either and had blood coming out of her nose, and that's what prompted him to call 911 frantically. So, all this happens. And Lauren's family is in the dark with all of this.
Yeah.
So, she's had a date. 911 gets called out to her house. She's pronounced dead. And her family knows nothing. So, Lauren's family has been calling her, texting her for a couple of days now. And no calls are being returned. No texts are being returned. Nothing. And so, Lauren's mother goes to her apartment and... Getting to her apartment, she goes up to the door and sees a note on the door that says, if you want to know about Lauren, call this number. So immediately her mom's like, something is wrong. Something's happened. None of this is right. So her mom's heart sinks. The number is to the landlord of the apartment complex that Lauren lives at. The landlord. And he tells her of Lauren's passing. Not the police. Not the medical examiner's office, but the landlord of her apartment tells the mom what's happened. Okay, so huge mistake right here. Because this is days after. We're talking a couple of days, not, they just took her 30 minutes ago. These are days, and why does the landlord know? And not the family.
And like somebody, somebody didn't have... like emergency contact or her phone keeps going off. We need to answer her phone. I mean,
right. Because you would think, in my phone, I have mom, dad, Aaron all listed.
All
and you would
contacts.
Think, you would think, oh, mom's calling. Hey, are you mom here? You know, I'm with so-and-so, police department.
Right.
So she finds out from the landlord office. So, as you don't even want to imagine the grief that this family feels now. Because why would the police not notify them of Lauren's passing? So, the landlord gives access to the family of Lauren's apartment. And almost immediately, they notice things in the apartment do not make sense. There's no way the police have been here and have processed this scene. The family can tell right away it wasn't properly secured. And in the apartment, her family recovers items that you would think the police would collect. Because, again, they know that she's been on a date and a white male called out to, called the emergency services out to the apartment. The family recovers a used condom, a pill, and bloody sheets. Now, again, the pill is important because Lauren's family knows that she doesn't use any medication. So why is there a pill in her apartment? Why was that pill not collected to see what is this? Is this a roofie, I think is what they're called, or whatever. And, you know, what is this medication? So the family calls the police. And they're like, hey, what have you all done? Because here, we've found these items. So what have you all done then? So the family's met with obstacle after obstacle. The brother of Lauren was told by police that the family was not notified because they had Lauren's passport, so they knew who she was.
Wow.
So what does that even mean? I thought when you got that, then the family's notified, hey, we found this passport. I'm sorry, but your daughter has passed away. Not, well, right, we knew who she was. So, what? No. Because, I mean, we all see it in, like, TV. And I know TV's not real. But TV shows they go to the family to give notification of death. That is a thing. Yeah. You know.
It happens, yes.
Yeah. And so, So, the police was kind of like, well, we knew who she was. So, why'd we need to call you? I mean, it's unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. So, what did the police collect then? Since the since her family found those things. So, the police collected, in addition to her passport, they collected her cash, her credit card, and her cell phone. Now, what are things usually confiscated off of drug dealers? Their cash, their credit card, and their cell phones. But what police officer doesn't answer a cell phone that's ringing and it shows mom or mother or, you know, as the caller?
Right. You
know? So, I mean, that part I still can't get my head around. But again, they're just like, she had a date, she overdosed, whatever, move on. So now the family's being told by an investigator who's now been suspended by the police department to stop calling about the investigation. And one of them actually hung up on Lauren's father because they were like, we did our part. I'm sorry you don't want to accept that this is how she died. Bye. And just hung up. Who does that? Who?
Right. And who this date, I use loosely, the name date. Mm-hmm. What did he tell them?
Well,
the police, was he like, look, we were like partying together and she partied too hard. And,
that's it. That's what he said. That they were doing shots. She got sick. Yeah. They did more shots. He fell asleep. And officer, I just slept beside her to make sure she was okay. And when I woke up, she wasn't breathing. I called 911.
Yeah.
But then the family's finding a used condom in the apartment.
Yeah, he never brought that up, did he?
So he never said that. He never said, oh, we did pills or we, you know, whatever, you know, none of that was brought up. And how much blood was on the sheets? Nosebleeds can have a lot of blood, but still you would want to process it. Was it just her blood? Was it his blood? Was he hiding scratches? Right. You know,
definitely.
So the police's response about why they were not investigating the date was police said he was nice. So there wasn't a need to investigate him.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Ted Bundy was nice, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was very charming. Yeah.
You can't. I mean, it's all these things where you're like, you've got to be kidding me right now. So, of course, the family, which I'm glad that they have sued the city. And they have accused the police department for violating their civil rights for mishandling the investigation and not notifying them of when Lauren died.
Yeah.
Just to name a few things, you know. So in response, the mayor, the Bridgeport mayor, Joe Ganim, expressed his disappointment with the police department, saying he found the police actions unacceptable and went on to apologize to Lauren's friends and family. Well, that's words. Words are nice, but words are meaningless with no action. So, That was it. He thought, well, I'll just apologize for the police department. I'll express my sorrow on behalf of everybody, and we'll just sweep it under the rug. Because that's honestly what it felt like they were trying to do, you know.
Right.
So then we're going from, okay, this is Bridgeport, Connecticut, not a huge town. It's not like Los Angeles or San Antonio, you know. It's Bridgeport, Connecticut. Right. So how did it go from being a local police matter to national attention? Well, this is where social media comes in. TikTok. Of all things, TikTok, the rabbit hole, where you're like, I'll watch this one video, and 4 hours later, you're like, where did the time go?
Right.
Yeah. That's why I'm not usually on TikTok. So there have been a lot of TikTok creators. These are creators, friends, professionals, activists that have been using TikTok's platform to bring attention to the case. What they are bringing about, and they rightfully are, is they are calling out the missing white woman syndrome. Now, what this is the media's overcompensation of missing and murdered white women in contrast to indigenous women and women of color. And most recently, Gabby Petito, for example. You couldn't turn on anything without seeing Gabby Petito. We have covered the case as well because it was there was such huge attention brought to it. But yet, here's Lauren on a Bumble date, is found dead the next day. There's all this stuff in the apartment that the police obviously didn't gather or process. And yet, we've heard nothing because it took these friends, these creators, these people that use their platform to bring attention to the case. So they were diligent about it. Obviously, it's paid off, thank goodness, because the case is now nationally known. Major news outlets, podcasts, us, several others are talking about the case, increasing the pressure on the city and police department to do their part. Now, the police, the Bridgeport Police Department, they are now reinvestigating the cause of death, and it is being processed, or it's being investigated as a criminal matter by the police department, and they are getting assistance from the U.S. government, the DEA division. Mm-hmm. So two of the detectives have been suspended in relation to the handling of the investigation. And here's the kicker, and I didn't go too far off when I found this out, but this is infuriating. So on the same day that Lauren died, there was another woman that died in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Her name was Brenda Rawls. And Brenda was a 53-year-old black woman who died the same day in the same town as Lauren. Her family was also not notified by police immediately. And 911 came out to her home because they received a call from a male.
Oh, wow.
So you have two black women. Same city, same day, both called out to their home, their residence, by a male that called and said, hey, I have found this person unresponsive. And nobody thought that was weird in the police department?
No. And they didn't notify her family right away?
And they didn't notify her family right away either. So can we say there's some prejudice, racism, sexism, everything about it? It's disgusting. And, you know, the supervisor on Lauren's case, because there's a supervising officer on Lauren's case, wouldn't you know it, they just retired. Now, these murders happened 3 months ago. And all of a sudden, the supervising officer has retired? Really? So, of course, you know, the police department's not going to comment on ongoing personnel investigations. But how could you not say that these were related? How could you not even look at them to think, could these be related? Could they be just coincidental? Yes. Are they coincidental? Who knows? Because the police isn't doing their part. Because they're just trying to sweep it under the rug and be like, oh, well, just a couple of more, I'm just going to speak frankly, just a couple of more black women that have overdosed. Oh, well, too bad for them. Let's go on to the next case. You know, they're not helping them. And
no, they're not.
And it's being and it's friends and creators and TikTok that's having to bring all this national attention to the case for them to do the right thing when they should have done the right thing the first time.
Right, exactly.
Because you can't help but feel if those victims were white, it would be a totally different case that we would be looking at right now.
Oh, yes.
You know it would be.
Our media would be saturated with it.
Oh, yeah. CNN,
I mean, it would be magazines, all of them,
Fox. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But because they're black, you hear nothing.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's the missing white woman syndrome. And
yeah.
If you're listening to this and you're like, there's no way that's real, I encourage you to go look that up. Educate yourself, because it is real.
Yeah.
It's very real.
It is real, yes.
And it's, it's disheartening and disgusting because black lives do matter. And until black lives matter, you can't say where people, oh, all lives matter, blah.
No, right.
You can't say that because not all lives do not, because we, it's such a huge separation between how the cases are covered for women of color and for indigenous women. It's golly. So Darnell Crossland is an attorney for Lauren's family, and he said, you know, there's questions that need to be answered, like who provided the drugs or how were they ingested? Because these are questions that should have already been answered, but have not been, because they know, the family knows Lauren did not use drugs. There's no evidence that she did. And even if she had or was, that doesn't mean you investigate the case any less than what you should. So the family has is going to be paying out of pocket for an independent autopsy, because you know they weren't given a proper one, because they were just like, oh, here's another overdose. Just run it through, Bob, you know. Just do it.
Right.
Do the usual things. And they also have an online fundraising page in hopes of hiring a private investigator to conduct their own parallel investigation, which is just disheartening. That, you know, this is a civil service that they should be doing this for the family. The family should not have to be paying, out of their own pocket to get the justice for Lauren, to get justice for Brenda. And you know, and can't believe I'm going to actually say this, but representatives from Bumble have said that they will help with the investigation, but as of right now, they've not been contacted by law enforcement.
Wow.
Don't you think they should contact them to find out who this person is and dig a bit deeper? You know, has he gone on Matched or gone on to other dating sites or, or dates and these women show up dead?
Mm-hmm.
Why has not?
You're right.
Oh, well, he seemed like a nice guy, so we're square. We're good. No worries.
This is why I'm so glad that we grew up in a time where we did not use social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our Bumble was like our friend.
Right. Yeah.
Or like your mom or whatever. Like, you had people actually knew that person and fixed you up with them.
Yes.
Or you kind of knew people around. But these dating sites, you don't have that verification of, oh, yeah, they're a great person, or no, they're a bad person, stay away. Or
Right.
You kind of put that trust that person's being honest.
Well, and that's where, if you do, because I mean, it's hard to network anymore. People are so, people are isolated but want connection. And if you are going to go through a dating website, which are, you know, I've heard several cases for dating websites. People have found.
We even went to, went to a wedding where they met off eHarmony.
Oh,
I mean, it happens.
It absolutely. Yeah. But you have to be smart too. And when you're going to meet somebody, meet them out in a public place, or have a couple of your friends be in that same restaurant or that same area that you're going to meet. And I'm talking both male and female. I'm not discriminating here.
Yeah.
Have your exit plan. Be safe. Be smart about it until you get to know them. Anybody can be a prince or princess or whatever when you're texting or messaging, because that's called luring you in. But what? Who are they
Does
actually
use
like?
That filter?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the pictures,
oh yeah.
this is, you can't look at a picture and say, oh, they're hot. I think they're fine, you know.
Right,
I mean,
then you go meet them and, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, that's why I'm just glad we weren't in that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I just don't know how being young and you know, Lauren is very beautiful.
It's a lot. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, very beautiful woman. And it's just like, you know, what in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just,
and that's why I worry about these dating apps. I really do. That, I mean, I know people want to connect and find that special somebody, but
yeah, but you've got to be careful.
Stories where it's gone bad. Yeah, yeah.
It's yeah. You have to be careful about things because unfortunately, you know, it's not like in the, you know, earlier times whenever you want to place that where people their intentions usually. Were to, oh, I want to actually get to know you, and it wasn't all this, you know.
Now, on Bumble, do you have to pay, or do you know?
I kind of looked at it. You can. I think it's a pay for cert, like one of those. You can put your profile out there. You all can like each other, but if you actually want to talk, you're going to have to pay the service.
And see, I thought if you paid for services like that, that they verified them, but I guess they don't.
Well, you can only verify to a degree online.
Okay. Like, I didn't know if they were like, yeah, this person's legit. You know, they don't have a criminal record. I didn't know how far they went.
Yeah, no, I don't think they do criminal records and things like that.
Okay.
No.
See, I'm new to all this, so,
no.
You know.
Yeah. Well, they I guess they do, like, a verification of phone number and email or something like that. Like, it's not...
Oh.
But they also have, you know, disclaimers out on those sites. You're use at your own risk, if you will.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who you're going to meet, and to be, you know, be careful.
Yes.
Be careful about it, because male and female, I'm not discriminating here, can have cruel intentions that, oh, I'm just going to use this as to find victims. And you're preying on that... on that want, that need of people to find love and a connection, you know.
Yeah
It's sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's very sad. And so, of course, we're going to keep following the case because that's where we're at right now, and yes, any definitely. Developments we'll definitely give updates on. But yeah, this family, Lauren's family, Brenda's family, were done so wrong by the city, by the police department. And for what, other than just they were black?
Yeah.
That's it. They, you know, I mean, but for these two cases, how many thousands of others are there that we're never going to hear about?
Yeah.
And that's what, and because you know it's happening, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for it other than prejudices, racisms, sexism, all of that.
Definitely,
But in Bridgeport, people have organized the civil march for both Lauren Smithfields and Brenda Rawls and hope to find out what has happened to these women and to get the justice and peace that they both deserve. You know, and this is, and without getting over into too much, but this is an absolute need cause for a protest. These women were done wrong, you know.
Definitely.
We need to get to the bottom of it. The local, state, federal government should be held responsible, making sure that all of their entities are doing their due diligence in investigating these crimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely. So. Yeah.
So I hope they do. And like I said, once we hear more, we'll update everyone. So that hearts and thoughts go out to those families, because that's just, oh my gosh. I can't imagine walking up to your daughter's door and saying, if you want to know about Lauren, call this number. Well, who all walked up to the door before the mom did? Who all knew before the mom? Yeah. It's just, ugh. Mm-mm.
Man. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's a sad, sad case.
Yeah, very much so. So, did you find any other pieces you want to add to, Erin, or?
No, I think basically you covered it all. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. I mean, the police had her phone. They could have absolutely gotten in touch with her family.
Yeah.
That's the very least they could have done.
We knew who she was.
And maybe do your job.
Right.
We, like, pay for that.
Exactly. That's what tax dollars go
to. And so, Yeah. So, yeah.
And then
it's just sad. It's upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Very. So, so that is the onion. That's some of the layers. Yeah. We've not completely peeled it because it's not completely done yet. But those are some of the layers on the Lauren Smith Fields case as of today. So, now that we've completed that, I totally forgot. This past week was Valentine's Day, so.
Oh, yeah.
Happy commercial holiday to those who celebrate it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, just wanted to send that shout out.
Yeah, to those who celebrate.
To those who celebrate it, yeah. We don't celebrate, you know.
No.
I never have, though. I don't know.
No.
I found it silly in school where we had to make our own Valentine's box.
Oh, yes.
And then, you know, remember in elementary school, you make your own Valentine's box, and then it's supposed to be that they wanted every child to bring in enough Valentine's for every person.
Correct.
And that never happened.
And, right.
You know, there were always some kids that had more and some kids that had less of the Valentine's and that. Right. And honestly, it was at that point in elementary school that I was like, I'm good. So all my little boyfriends I had growing up, I was like, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day. So so I just never have.
You know, I say that I'm the best gift.
Right, so. And every day is Valentine's Day. Absolutely.
How can we top that when I'm the best gift for you? So
right. See, I get it. I think the same about myself. Yeah. Me and my
all
cats.
I did was watch TV.
Yeah.
I watched TV that night and said, "Leave me alone."
Yeah, exactly.
Don't leave me alone, and I'm watching my shows. So.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because it was on, what, a Monday?
It lights passed me,
Try and think. The clinic I worked at was just me and one other clinician, and we were both like, you know, him and his wife, they don't really celebrate it either. So it was just like, you know, because I've been to where I've worked at offices. I've worked at corporations where just nonstop the flowers, the deliveries, and I'm like, whatever. Gross.
Yeah. See, when you get married, all of a sudden it's like, we can't celebrate Valentine's Day because we have bills to pay.
Right. Yeah.
Land taxes come due. Yeah. Land taxes are expensive.
Yep.
You know, because it's in February, it's kind of the first of the year, and everything comes due at the first of the year.
Got to file taxes.
Got to pay those subdivision dues, all that. So there's your Valentine's Day.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry. As you can tell.
How do you really feel, Aaron? But,
A
reminder for the American listeners, don't forget we're in tax season. So if you have not filed your taxes, go ahead. I filed mine and already got my return. So I'm done.
There you go. Get ahead
I'm
of the
done.
Game.
Yeah, it's not even, it is not the tax filing deadline at this time. So don't
done
put it
early.
Off. Just do it and get it over with. Even if you owe, whatever. It's fine.
Yep.
All right.
Just get it done.
Yes. So, next week, we are going to cover a iconic case. David Berkowitz, also known as Son of Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Not to be confused with my cat, Sammy.
Right.
Although she can be mean. But she's sassy is what I say. She's earned the right. So so that is the onion that we're going to take on next week. And it might be a two-parter. Who knows? We'll try to get it all done in one. So that's the next one. Also, because we will still be celebrating Black History Month here on Southern Onion, we will have another highlight to talk about. And I totally failed you all. I did not have a book ready for this week, so I do apologize. So I will have two books ready for next week to make up for it. So two books, a highlight, and then we'll be talking about David Berkowitz. So a lot going on in the next episode. Again, thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your kind words and encouragement and good vibes that you send out to us. It is all greatly appreciated. Again, if you haven't, follow us on Instagram, Southern Onion Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. DMs are open. And like, view, relate, like, review, and subscribe. Mm-hmm. My brain was faster than my mouth. And if you don't mind, leave us a comment if you really like us. If you don't like us, you've made it to the end of this episode. So I think you like us and you don't want to admit it.
It's okay.
Just saying. But, all right. Well, guys, thank you again so much for tuning in. Take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Until next time, bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.